Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we run until 2 p.m. and it's Dennis Johnson and myself in with you. Call number is still 434-1790. You can still email me at peter.w.wickham@gmail.com, although hardly anyone uses that these days other than Carl Moore. And of course, the WhatsApp is 266-IVOB. Couple of WhatsApp messages. Let me see if I can catch up on them. One person is saying to me, Peter, how are you? It's good to hear you as usual. I think the cabinet is too large and I believe that it is to keep some people silent. Today, my main beef is with this bubble. I, along with several sensible people, do not believe that no one should be allowed to disembark in Barbados without having been tested for COVID-19 before taking off on a plane or a boat from their country. And the other thing he says is, good morning. I believe that there is some young blood who have been selected to run for the Democratic Labour Party in the next election who are in sensitive jobs, but will be revealed at the annual conference. What do you think of the above, Peter? Well, if it is that there are people who will be revealed at the next annual conference, I say bring it on. Let's hear the next annual conference. I've been of the view for a long time that there are people who are available to the Democratic Labour Party that are not in sensitive jobs, and that perhaps should have been identified quite some time ago. Let's see what happens when the annual conference comes and goes. Now, there's a conversation going on regarding the last caller. And I wanted to read for you a couple of offerings. The lawyer was supported by another attorney that spoke to me during the break. And he said to me that the practice of upgrading charges is entirely normal, and that's something which they do. And I suspect that's what this lawyer was saying. And then I got another WhatsApp message from someone who is within the government and saying to me, Peter, the key point is bringing new charges after the original charges were heard and a sentence has been handed down. In essence, you'll be punishing the man a second time for the same offense. Normally, you should upgrade before the matter has been disposed of. So that seems to be the most authoritative response that I would have received in relation to this issue, because essentially what the suggestion is that the issue was not the idea of upgrading, but the issue is one of closing a matter, letting the person leave the court, and then recharging the person in relation to the same matter, especially in situations where, as I understand it, the individual was dead before he pleaded guilty for the first charge. So then I have another WhatsApp message saying, Peter, just to clarify, based on your conversation with the attorney just before the news, the article in the paper closed by stating, when the case was called last week, the court heard the DPP had ordered that death by dangerous driving charge should be withdrawn. Magistrate Madison then told the accused he was free to go. The attorney later noted that she had heard that there were other matters that may follow in this way because of submissions were made and the law came out of cases that were submitted. In other words, a precedent has been set in this case. It is no longer sub judice. Indeed, it is a fait accompli. You're my favorite moderator. Hopefully we can have you for 2 days. Well, if Dennis is listening, Dennis is the person who does the scheduling. Dennis could he can make it happen if he so desires. He's signaling differently to me without pretending that I can't see because the screen is not large enough to accommodate. Peter, this is the third decade of the 21st century. The entire world is going email and e-bills. Why is Barbados going backward by insisting that every house install a mailbox for paper mail, which will not start by 2022? This is an extremely interesting point, and I have to admit that I have wondered for some time, what is this fixation with letterboxes? I have a letterbox, and I have had a letterbox which was erected according to the rule outside the house on a podium created specially for that purpose to ensure that the postman does not have to get off his bike in order to deliver the mail. I have to admit that soon after I moved to my house, it bothered me when I saw the postman meandering along Whitehall and stopping at every house and walking up to every door and putting mail. I decided that it was important for my postperson, who is a lady, to be able to turn the motorcycle into the driveway and drop the mail in a letterbox without having to get off or disembark the bike, because I really do feel that it's a lot to do. But the other larger issue really is, why is it that we have this fixation with mail in the first place? Quite frankly, the only letter that I really get is the Water Authority's bill. And I have been waiting for the Barbados Water Authority to go online. Hopefully, Ms. Kay McConney, Senator McConney, is listening, and she can help to bring her august talent regarding this digitization process. And I am overwhelmingly impressed. I'll speak about that shortly. at the digitization program to the Barbados Water Authority so that they can stop sending these bills, which naturally I will never see because I seldom ever go in the mailbox. I don't really look for mail. And just deliver them electronically, which is a medium that most of us use. So I'm with you very much on that caller. So yeah, I mean, the digitization program that has now come to the renewal of licenses, again, it's awesome. I am impressed. And it's amazing. You know, you can actually receive a license renewal in the mail. And I think that is a stroke of genius. One would argue, why was it so long in coming? I'm also happy to say that I paid my land tax. I was mortified by the quantity of tax I was being charged for the land. I must tell you, completely and totally mortified. But as I have said to other callers on the program from time to time, those of us who pay a land tax have to appreciate that we're also fortunate to own land. And Dennis and I complain all the time about the size of the land tax bill that we receive, but we have to remember that if we get a big land tax bill, it means that we are sitting on property that is valuable. And I am fortunate, I would say, to be among the people of Barbados that receive the land tax bill, because it actually means I own a piece of land. And it is a privilege that a lot of people in Barbados do not have. So I'm grateful for that privilege, and I will try to scrape together the money to pay the land tax bill. I am happy, however, that the portal has allowed me to pay the land tax bill as though I wasn't in Barbados, and I'm not. And I am happy that that is now the case. The only challenge that I have is that the land tax bill itself comes in the mail. So we have to move, Senator McConney, we have to move the land tax billing process electronically as well. So let us get that going. Someone is telling me that I am late, that you can get your water bill electronically. But why has no one ever told me that? I am going to go and research the matter today and find out why. I've been paying it online. It's just that I haven't been able to receive it online. But I have been paying it online for a long time. So, yeah. Somebody is telling me that she's been getting her BWA bill by email for about a year. They said, I don't know what's happened. Why is it that I have not been included, that I haven't been able to get my water bill that way? So I will investigate that matter shortly and try and ensure that I, like others, can receive the land tax bill. I'm pretty sure, however, that one comes in the mail. So that's it for water. That's it for email WhatsApp messages for the time being. Just quickly coming out of the news, I listened to the Prime Minister's comments this morning via CNN on the latest. I haven't heard them in person. I continue to be impressed at the fact that the Prime Minister has understood that she is Barbados' greatest advocate right now. And she has put us into the public domain regionally and internationally. The welcome stamp is something that people talk about quite a bit, largely because of her intervention. And I'm happy that she has acknowledged that she is certainly probably our best salesperson. And as a result, it is important for her to get out there and market Barbados, especially in these COVID times. I think it's a fantastic job that she's doing in terms of these interventions. And it's interesting that I was saying to someone else today in a conversation I was having before the program started, that when the Welcome Start initiative started, there was all of this fuss about whether or not LGBT people could gain access to it. And it created a bit of a furor, not only in Barbados, but internationally. And the fact that she has responded and created, cleared up any misconceptions, has been essentially another moment that we benefited from publicity, because it was not only a situation where people were talking about the fact that LGBT people were not entitled. We now have another opportunity where the name of Barbados is being mentioned and associated with a progressive program that's open to all. So I would say that we took a negative and we turned it into a positive in that regard. Anyhow, Dennis is telling me I'm talking too much. We need to get back to the calls, 434-1790, and say good afternoon and welcome. I'm with you until 2 p.m.
Good afternoon, Mr.
Good afternoon and welcome. Yes, good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm good, sir.
All right. Mr. Wickham, I really called to talk about the electric buses, right? But just to touch briefly on the point you just made about the electronic billing. Well, I personally, when I was setting up my landline a few years ago, I had the choice to get either the mail billing or the physical billing or the electronic billing. I personally chose the electronic billing because, you know, it saves trees and also it's much more convenient and also it can't get lost because it comes directly to you. But at the same time, Mr. Wickham, I tend to be a little on the fence, especially at this time with the 40% unemployment rate, with us going too much in the direction of the electronic billing, because then all of those, or a majority of the postmen, will then lose the little pick they got, you know? And then that will be more people on the breadline and more families now that will be in potter with in terms of getting food on the table, clothing, and stuff like that. So I think for right now, at least, we should hold strain a little bit. I, as I tell you, I understand the importance of electronic billing, and it's also good for the environment. It's much greener and stuff, but at the same time, we got to consider jobs. What do you think about that?
I think you're wrong. I don't believe that you can create work for people by creating unnecessary work. I think the reality is that the days of paper billing are numbered, and the sooner you can get on that, the better. You may think that you're preserving the job of a postman by taking a paper bill, but I don't really know that you're doing that. If you had a secretary and you gave her something to type, are you preserving her job? The reality is that the direction of the whole enterprise is going in a different way. So I don't think that's the way to do it. I think the way to do it is that we have to get post people involved in productive activity that may be related to the work that they're currently doing. But it's not about delivering letters, because that's not going to continue for very much longer.
All right, fair enough. Mr. Wickham, one last thing, right? It's about these buses. Mm-hmm. And let me just say from the outset that I'm not against the acquisition of the electric buses into the country, because the Democratic Labour Party, as we both know, had 10 whole years, and they didn't acquire a single bus. But yet Ms. Motley and her team, in less than a quarter of the time the Dems had, did more for the country, at least as it relates to the acquiring of buses. And therefore, nobody in the right minds could really dispute that. But Mr. Wickham, where you say A, you also lost the B. Just because the B's treaded where the Dems didn't, it doesn't mean that we, the taxpayers, should allow them to get off scot-free without questioning. You know, one of the questions that I have for the government, I understand that there's a procurement law in Barbados that any project surpassing a cost of $100,000 must be put up to tender. So it begs the question, has this contract for these electric buses, acquiring them, has that contract gone out to local tender first before giving the contract to people overseas? You know?
All right. No, I'm not aware, but what I am understanding is that the buses, said it cost $44 million, but it's leased. The buses are leased. The buses are not owned by the Transport Board. So I don't know whether your procurement knowledge stretches into in relation to lease arrangements. Mm-hmm. Normally, lease arrangements are a lot more flexible. And I presume that, especially in a situation where there is not, to the best of my knowledge, a lot of people who can deal with electronic billing. Sorry, who right. can deal with buses, electronic buses. As a result, there's no question that it could be supplied by someone local. I don't know whether there's a partnership, but the presumption is that there are really not a lot of people who can do that. But at any rate, as I said, they're leased, and I think it would be a different situation.
But Mr. Wickham, I am not too certain about the accuracy of that statement that is the lease, because I heard the Transport Minister, the Honourable Ian Gooding-Edjo, he was in Parliament, and he was saying, well, this is before the address under the tent to the media a few days ago, he was saying that he will eventually address the country, and he just wants the country to know that Barbados does not owe anybody for the buses. So it sounded to me like
because they're leased. But that's the point he was making, they're leased, so you don't really owe anyone for them.
Well, I didn't hear that word, that leased word come out as well. But then also in this address that he made under the tank, to the media and the other stakeholders, a few days ago, he did say that the cost was $45 million. And that, too, is one of the question marks that I have over this, because there's an article entitled Bus Route. Let me see if I could get the date for you on that article. The date on that is the 14th of May, 2020. And in this article, Bus Route, on Barbados Today, one of the players in this local electric bus thing His name is Ralph Busy Williams and Wayne Clark. Mr. Clark was saying that he projected that locally continue on with the project in terms of converting the old buses that we have here in Barbados already into electric buses, which, by the way, would reduce wastage, which would be a very, very good thing for the environment. To do that, to convert those buses, would be a cost between $500,000 and $600,000 Barbados dollars. Now, let me do a little quick math here.
But so that's per bus, huh?
Right. Correct. So let me just,
per bus.
Right. So let me just do a little quick math here, Mr. Wickham. Work with me. $600,000, right, multiplied by 33 buses is $19.8 million. Mm-hmm. Now, if you take $19.8 million from, I ain't going to take it from 45. I'm going to take it from 43 because the minister also said on the thing that the $45 million included training and spare parts and something else. So let me take out $2 million just to be safe. Let me take it from $43 million. That is $23.2 million extra that this government gives to foreigners overseas. And as you said earlier in the program, there's also a question mark over if this $45 million is U.S. or Barbados. Now, I could tell you, Mr. Wickham, and I could just stretch your mind to try to imagine the amount of things that $23.2 million could do in this country, how much roads it could fit, how much hungry bellies it could feed in terms of putting the money towards the welfare, how much money people were getting unemployment benefits if it was to go to the NES. And instead of, you know, tendering it locally, to my best knowledge, this went to foreigners overseas, $45 million of surplus of roughly $23.2 million. Now, let's say that this project went to local people, the local players, right? That would be money that would circulate in the economy, money that we need all now. Precious money, labor that would be created. And not only would labor be created, but it will also be a spin-off in terms of people that would need to carry food vans to these places so that the persons could eat on the lunch break. Now, the people that are working and the people that work in the food van going to need to have people at their homes to take care of the children and stuff, so they need to hire home help to deal with that. So there's so many advantages to keeping $45 million in your local economy, but instead of putting it back in your local economy so it could spin round and generate a lot of activity, residual activity even, you instead give it to people overseas.
Well, sir, your passion was clear in what you were saying. I didn't want to interrupt you because you were so passionate about what you were saying. You spoke with such enthusiasm that it was clear that you felt you had a slam dunk that you wanted to deliver in relation to this government's buying these buses. So I let you continue. Sir, a couple of things that you have to appreciate. Now, I remember when I was given when the public was given the cost of the Williams bus, right? I was told by someone who was a specialist in these matters that amount of money was almost twice what it would cost the transport board to procure them from another route. So that was the basic ballpark information that was given to me at the time, that it was a question of cost, that they were it was a good initiative, but it was also a question of cost. Couple of things. Dennis reminds me that the Williams buses are not disabled friendly. The Williams buses are also not air conditioned. So there are features which they certainly don't have charging ports, and they don't have internet access. So there are features that these have that don't have, but that's just a set that to say, right? The gentleman is saying $19.8 million plus maintenance each year to the Williams Group. How many local people would be paid out of that? But the other important issues that I have to remember is that this is so much information that is coming along with it. 70 retrofit buses are being done here along with 33 buses. 14 more are apparently supposed to come. We need to hear in relation to that information. The tender was put out sometime last year for 180 buses. And does he understand that the buses were not bought, the buses were actually leased? So the question of tender doesn't come into it. Another lady wrote me in relation to this, and she said that she quoted the financial rules 29, 239(1) of the financial rules gives cabinet permission to go outside the tender process to procure goods and services that are urgently needed. Goods of a specialized nature not normally available in Barbados and goods required as a matter of urgency. And certainly one would think that the buses fit in to all of those. So the long and short of it is that there is a lot that has not been said in relation to the matter. And I think the Stendhal's maths is perhaps oversimplified. I am confident that the cost saving that was achieved by procuring this new deal by lease was significant, especially if you consider the question of the maintenance that was estimated by one of the WhatsAppers to be something like $19 million. I am fairly sure that the initial estimate that I heard that put the William buses over and above the cost of the ones that were imported is significant. I don't hear Williams himself complaining and saying that he could have benefited from that work in relation to the amount of money that was spent overseas. And I certainly don't know the details of the lease, and it's entirely possible that, you know, some familiar names locally may very well pop up in relation to that lease arrangement as well. So that is, Parson awarded has to buy, operate, and maintain, apparently. Yeah, there's a lot of information that's coming in relation to that. And I think the most important WhatsApp messages I'm receiving is that from a caller who is saying that you have to remember that what we have done is akin to buying airplanes. So you lease them, you have the benefit of using them, but ultimately they don't belong to you. So you can return them and renew them at the end of the particular life, or alternatively, there's some kind of a maintenance arrangement that can very well be built in, which is also important in these times. So having said all of that, let's move on to another caller. Good. We take a break. We come right back after a message. Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. I have a confession to make that in the break, while we were listening to the two advertisements, I went online. I emailed customercare@bwa.gov.bb. I've given them my account number for my water bill, and I have asked if I can be registered for e-billing. And let's see how that goes. Because normally, if you are overseas and you are entitled to e-billing, normally they say you have to come in and whatnot. We'll see how that one goes. I also want to say something else. Several weeks ago, I had a what could be categorized as a slow leak in front of my property in Barbados. A leak where you could see that there was moisture around the road, but there was not actual water that was coming out. So it was a relatively slow leak, and it was before the meter. It had nothing to do or would not have impacted on my costs in any way. I sent an email to customercare@bwa.gov.bb, and I did that with a picture of the leak, the spot it was leaking, and information on the leak, and I asked that it could be attended to. About probably 3 or 4 weeks after I sent that message, I received a phone call from someone at the BWA, and he says that he was along the road and he was trying to find out where this leak was, if I could perhaps direct him to it, because he was on the road driving, trying to monitor these leaks. The gentleman, I identified him, he came, he saw the leak, and he told me that they would set a timeline in terms of having the leak prepared. I think that while we are always anxious to heap criticism on the BWA, I was very happy with that. And the fact that I did not have to call and speak to anyone. I sent an email, and the email was responded to within a reasonable time. I guess 2 to 3 weeks is reasonable. And there was a response, because often you hear people saying, I have repeatedly called and repeatedly messaged and I've gotten nothing. And I sent an innocent message without any voicemail or anything attached to it. And that was the response. So we'll see how that one goes. A lot more information has come in relation to the whole question of the buses. People are saying that the principal of the bus situation, where they were leased and whatnot, needs to be taken into consideration, and so on. And apparently the cost of the Barbados built buses is actually $900,000 and not $450,000, which I had previously mentioned. So if you did a quick calculation and you multiplied 900,000 by 44, you would understand, by 33, you would understand the kind of money that you're looking at without a maintenance contract. Dr. Brastax, good morning. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Am I on
Thanks.
air?
You are on air. Yes, sir. Welcome, welcome.
All right, good. I want to address something that I have heard relative to that matter that is in the papers, where the person was there was a charge of due care, driving without due care and reasonable consideration, and the person, the charge was read, and the person plead to that charge, and then subsequently a charge of causing death by dangerous driving was referred, and it was subsequently dismissed. Now, what I want to say to you, sir, there is a legal jargon known as autrefois convi or autrefois acqui, right? Now, if a person has been convicted of an offense, certainly that cannot be brought back. And when I say that, the due care and reasonable consideration is Section 83 of the Road Traffic Act. Causing death by dangerous driving is Section 81. All falls under the same gamut as traffic matter. So what I'm saying is, first, it should not have gone to that, because the two lesser charges should not have been put, especially when you know that somebody has died. It is always good that if you had put that for a person, they can jump on it and plea, because they will be getting away from the more serious offense. If you understand what I'm saying, Mr. Wickham.
Perfectly, sir.
I didn't hear you.
I said I understand you perfectly.
Right. So I thought that it is the fault of other people who should have been making sure that it doesn't span out that way, that the lesser charge should have been brought when you know that you got a greater charge. But you can allow a man to be to plea to a lesser charge and then you bring a greater charge. You don't increase the charge. It is decrease the charge. You always bring, for instance, if you charge a man for murder, it goes stand as murder, and then it can drop down to manslaughter. But you can't charge a man for manslaughter and then decide that you can bring a murder charge after you charge him for manslaughter. That is not right. So I don't understand why it should be an issue. The point is that how it was dealt with, that the magistrate tells the man, you're free to go. Because all fall under the ambit of the Road Traffic Act. If you follow what I'm saying, you cannot bring the charge. And I don't mind who attorney at law think that it could do it. It cannot happen.
Okay.
There is the law. There is the law. You got Section 81 of the Road Traffic Act, and you got Section 83 of the Road Traffic Act. All falls under the Road Traffic Act. I want to hear somebody come in and speak about it.
Okay. Well, sir, fortunately, the attorney who called earlier has promised that he will give us a call tomorrow, and we'll give Dennis a call tomorrow, I should say, and reflect on it, having read the article. And I'm reliably informed from other legal sources that the matter is one on which the Director of Public Prosecutions will have to give some advice very shortly, because what you seem to be suggesting is consistent with what he seemed to have been suggesting. So there's something that's going to happen in relation to that. All right, sir. Thanks a lot for calling. Adding more advice. Peter, this question of buses, and this comes from John. I've listened with rapt attention to some comments on Brastax about the new electric buses and air conditioning in the current COVID-19 environment. Are these people not aware that they are required to wear face masks? Hence, speaking is not required for such short distances. Secondly, we've had problems where some passengers, school children included, indiscriminately tossed litter and other missiles through these open windows. Needless to say, where these persons in the past have sustained an injury as a result. Some people need to use their brains more and reserve their mouths for eating. And this is from a Brass Stocks contributor. My good friend, Juanita, who I have not heard from for a long time, sends me a copy of her BWA bill that she received electronically and paid electronically. And I look forward to being able to receive such. As I said, I sent a request off to the Barbados Water Authority, and I will give you advice as to how quickly it comes back so that I can receive my advice in the way that she has received hers. And of course, I will be encouraging the Barbados Water Authority to discontinue the process of sending email to my home, and I will pay the bill in that way. So those are the two emails. Down to Brass Stocks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Rico.
Hey, good afternoon, ma'am. How are you?
You know, I always told you that you were of a good heritage.
Thank you. So that's it, ma'am. You're gone?